Colorado gets 200 extra jobs. FAA versus NIMBYs with the airport stuck in the middle. And here's why you start early planning a runway expansion. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 15th, 2010. There will be an extra aircraft assembly plant going up in Montrose, Colorado. The city had some concerns after its due diligence process, but the economic development incentives were restructured to address those concerns, and final approval by the county came Wednesday evening. The city has agreed to build a 25,000-square-foot facility on 8 acres of airport property and expand the facility further if increased production requires it. Extra will build the carbon fiber wings and fuselages in Germany, then ship them to the Montrose plant for final assembly and finishing to customer specifications. Over 200 new jobs are expected. Officials at Hilton Head Island in South Carolina know they need a longer runway if they're going to hold on to commercial turboprop service to the resort area. Runway 321 is only 4,300 feet long. Consultants prepared options for extensions to 4,600, 5,000, and 5,400 feet. The airport decided the middle option would provide greater safety for turboprops while remaining sensitive to NIMBYs who fear business jets. But the FAA's Scott Serrett has told County Administrator Gary Kubik that an extension shorter than 700 feet would not justify the cost, and the agency seems to prefer the longest option. The Island Packet quotes Kubik as saying that without 95% funding from the FAA, no extension will happen. An airport expansion 12 years in the making finally got underway Tuesday in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. City and FAA officials holding golden shovels broke ground for a 1,000-foot runway extension called for in a 1999 airport master plan. Also included will be new hangars and improvements to the terminal building and automobile traffic flow. The FAA is expected to pay about $10 million of the projected $25 million cost, according to iBerkshires.com. The state will contribute $13.5 million and the city $3.5 million. Work is expected to be complete on the new 5,790-foot runway and other improvements in about 2 years. Avadyne reports the FAA has issued an STC for its Integra Release 9 glass cockpit in the Piper Matrix. Patrick Hergeth, Avadyne's chief operating officer, commented, quote, PA-46 aircraft are single-pilot IFR workhorses, and Release 9's easy-to-use FMS and its fully redundant system architecture dramatically reduce pilot workload and increase safety, unquote. The Release 9 configuration in the Matrix uses two screens and has an MSRP of $72,800 U.S. plus installation. Contact Avadyne for details. Up next on ANN, the Machinists Union recommends its members approve a pay cut. Southeast Atlantic mechanics choose the Teamsters. And United will fly direct from LAX to Shanghai. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Hawker Beechcraft CEO Bill Boyster calls it a defining moment in the history of the company. He may be understating things. Local 1173 of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is recommending its members vote tomorrow to ratify a contract that includes a 10% pay cut. Under the new deal, base pay for union jobs at HBC's Wichita facility would range from $12.07 to $28.94 per hour. In a statement, the union says, quote, "Last week, the reality is that the plant teetered close to being gone forever. Our brothers and sisters in Salina can tell us how real it is. The governor gave us a second chance to save the jobs. Of the jobs we have secured, The state of Kansas will have a guarantee for these jobs. When the market comes back, we can grow again. For those who will lose jobs in the coming months, the state of Kansas will provide tuition assistance for retraining. We have worked toward a commitment to keep jobs in Wichita while competing against other states who wished to poach our jobs, with the company fighting for survival too, unquote. Poaching is one of those terms unions use to describe competition. The American Postal Workers Union refers to email as the electronic diversion of first-class mail. Nearly 600 mechanics and related workers at Atlantic Southeast Airlines have voted to join the Teamsters by a 2-to-1 margin, according to Union President James Hoffa. Quote, "Mechanics and related workers at Atlantic Southeast Airlines have shown great courage. I applaud them for their historic victory and for moving forward to join our Teamster ExpressJet mechanics once the two carriers merge," unquote. That merger was announced a few weeks ago. United Airlines has asked the USDOT for authority to begin daily nonstop service between the airline's Los Angeles hub and Shanghai, starting May 20, 2011. Continental Airlines, which recently merged with United, applied for authority to place its code on the flights operated by United between the two cities. The proposed flights from Los Angeles will depart at 1:33 p.m. Pacific Time and arrive at Shanghai Pudong International Airport at 5:55 p.m. local time the next day. The return trip will depart at 7:50 p.m. and arrive in Los Angeles at 4:47 p.m. the same day. United intends to operate the service with Boeing 777s configured for first, business, and economy classes. United currently serves Shanghai daily from Chicago and San Francisco. Continental serves Shanghai daily from Newark. Still ahead, the FAA announces two civil penalties. Skywatchers think the X-37B may have landed. And do law schools even offer math classes? You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 15th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has proposed a $664,000 civil penalty against William C. Dowse, doing business as the Parachute Center of Ocampo, California, for allegedly failing to perform required aircraft parts replacements and failing to comply with safety directives. The FAA alleges Dowse operated a de Havilland DHC-6 Twin Otter when critical parts were well past their life limits and without inspecting portions of the wings for corrosion. In all, the FAA counts over 2,100 flights in 2008 and 2009, with elevator control cables overdue for replacement, and with the plane out of compliance with ADs requiring visual inspections of the wing main spar, lower spar cap extensions, and wing support strut for possible corrosion. The agency also charges at least 500 flights were made with aileron control cables overdue for replacement. The FAA has also proposed a $455,000 civil penalty against Corporate Air of Billings, Montana, for allegedly operating a Beech 1900C on at least 80 flights in spite of continued evidence of excessive oil consumption in the right engine. The FAA-approved aircraft and engine manuals call for post-flight inspection and repair of an engine with excessive oil consumption. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt chides, quote, "Safety and compliance are the right choices every time," unquote. Both the Parachute Center and Corporate Air have 30 days to respond. The U.S. Air Force's X-37B unmanned spaceplane has again stopped showing up in the sky where expected by amateur astronomers. And that's led to speculation that after 173 days in orbit, the plane's not-so-secret-secret mission may be about to end with a landing back on Earth if it hasn't happened already. Fox News reports that the Internet is now buzzing with speculation that the plane's last known orbit would have put it very close to Vandenberg Air Force Base. The spacecraft is designed to have a mission endurance of 270 days, but there's been concern about the reusability of the spacecraft after a long stay on orbit. The Air Force has never disclosed the nature of the mission, but amateur trackers have reveled in keeping tabs on the craft from the ground even locating it again when it changed orbits in July. I'm thinking the Air Force has to see all this as mixed news. The bad news is it's no longer easy to fly around in space in secrecy. The good news? That means our enemies can't do it anymore either. And finally, you've probably heard about the coming attempt by Austrian Felix Baumgartner to break Colonel Joe Kittinger's old records with a free-fall jump from a balloon at 120,000 feet, technically in space, and becoming the first person to break the sound barrier with his body in the process. You might have even asked yourself, isn't there something more worthwhile he could be doing? Well, maybe not. The plaintiff in a lawsuit against sponsor Red Bull, which has now postponed the attempt, claims the advertising value in the stunt to be $625 million. Fox News reports that promoter Daniel Hogan filed the suit in April, saying that Red Bull had stolen plans for his space dive, which he says he pitched to the company in 2004. For folks who you might expect to be a little jumpy, Red Bull's statement was reserved and polite. It says in part, quote, "Despite the fact that many other people over the past 50 years have tried to break Colonel Kittinger's record, and that other individuals have sought to work with Red Bull in an attempt, Mr. Hogan claims to own certain rights to the project. Red Bull has acted appropriately in its prior dealings with Mr. Hogan and will demonstrate this as the case progresses," unquote. Now, lawsuits aren't exactly famous for reality-based math, but even if it was 1% of the claimed $625 million, I have to admit, I might be looking for a helmet and earplugs myself. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, new EAA President Rod Hightower talks about EAA's appropriate role in very light sport aircraft and in improving instruction. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.